Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
I am completing a three-week series on the topic of teach us to pray. One of the questions, if not the only question, that the disciples asked of Jesus in Luke 11. So after the past 2 weeks, we've done one. In week one, we looked at when Jesus began with one word, Father. And in the first week, we unpacked the word Father. We unpacked it. We spent the whole Sunday, the whole messages around the word Father. And then last week, which was week two, we continued with that, with Jesus' progression. We looked at hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and give us each day our daily bread. If you have not listened to the whole series, please do yourself a favor. Go and listen to it. Like Belinda said, even for myself, there was some massive revelations for my own world. The word Father, when Jesus use the word Father, he also revealed or transformed the thinking, the way people related to the Father. And then in hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, we learned that before a strategy, there is a surrender and there's a daily dependence upon our Heavenly Father. And so we step into week three, and I think that many of you are expecting me today to give you the three-step revelation on how to get prayer answered. Yes, anybody? Yeah, I saw some hands. Some people are truthful, some people are not. It's okay to be truthful in this house because the truth sets us free, apparently. That's what I heard, yes, and read. I'm sorry to disappoint you all that wants the three-step plan, though, because I am not going to give you a three-step, this is what you've got to do, and that will equal answered prayer. And the reason why I'm not going to do that is because I don't find that in the Bible. I don't find that anywhere that God gives us those three-step revelations. However, what I do find is very significant. I really believe it's very significant, and it brings us major lessons. Are you ready for it? Yeah. Here it comes. The first lesson is this, verse 5 to 13, Luke 11, 5 to 13, is actually part of Jesus teaching the disciples to pray. And you're like, and that's revelation. That is the revelation. We can all go home now. No, we can't, because I have got some more that I want to reveal. But what I do want to let you know in this time is many times when we read our Bibles, we come to headings or subheadings in the chapters, and even in the New King James Version, if I look at Luke 11, the first title is the model prayer, and then when we get to verse 5, it says a friend comes at midnight. That's another subtitle, and then at verse 9, it talks about keep asking, seeking, and knocking. And so many times as we read scripture, we think because there's subtitles, it's a new topic, or Jesus has actually moved on. But reality is this, that in the original manuscripts, there are no chapters. There are no verses. There are no section headings like I've just read out to you. And Luke actually originally recorded this as one continuous conversation from Luke 1 all the way to Luke 15. Or 30, sorry. Week 30. So Luke 5 to 13 is still part of Jesus' teaching the disciples to pray. And in there are many key things that we overlook as believers. So I've titled this message this morning, Teach Us to Pray 3, The Persistence of Faith. The Persistence of Faith. So Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that we are gathered in the one and only name of Jesus. We also thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here, and we pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll reveal to us the word once again, that we will be transformed. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 So to recap, Luke 11 verses 1 to 3, Jesus gives us a model of prayer. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread. But then in the very next verse, in verses 5 to verses 8, Jesus launches into a story, or what we are known as a parable. And it's going to be on the screen, and it goes like this. And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within." This is the friend. "Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you though," this is Jesus speaking again, "I tell you though, he will not get up and give anything because he is his friend. Yet because of his shameless audacity, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." At first glance, that seems like a very strange story to be put in the model of prayer, or when Jesus is teaching about prayer. But what we need to understand is that in those days, hospitality in the first century wasn't just good manners. It wasn't just a good thing to do. It was actually a matter of honor and responsibility. In Jewish culture, welcoming a guest brought honor to your household, while failing to care for a guest brought shame to your household. So this is actually really important. This piece of scripture right there in the middle is actually important, because this traveler comes unexpectedly. He arrives at midnight, and the pressure is on to provide. The problem, though, is not the fact that his pantry is empty. The bigger issue is that the host has no way of fulfilling his responsibility, which is going to lead to shame upon his family. Remember, we've just read that failing to care for a guest brought shame to your family. So he does the only thing that he can think of. He puts on his Uggies, he puts on his gown, and he rushes over to the neighbor, and he says to the neighbor, "Hey, knock, 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 knock." So in the scripture here, we realize that this is not at 8 o'clock at night. This is at midnight. This is the time that it's talking about. This means the doors are locked. So thank goodness. I think everybody's doors should be locked at midnight. The lights should be off. The family's asleep, was what we read here as well. But it's also important to know that in the first century homes, there weren't different bedrooms where people slept. There was one single room where the entire family slept on mats across the floor. Not Sealy prostrapedic mattresses, mats. Those of you who are complaining about your mattress, which is me, mats, all right? So the family slept into one bedroom, the whole entire one room on mats spread across the floor. So to get a knock at the door and to get up would wake actually the whole household. We've got to understand why the neighbor now says, "Don't bother me. The door is shut. My children are in bed. I can't get up." In other words, "Hey, dude, come back tomorrow. It's inconvenient right now." But the host doesn't go away. The host who's come in his Uggies and his gown, he keeps knocking and he refuses to leave. He refuses to quit. Then Jesus moves on with something very extraordinary, and he says this: "Though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend," the New Living Translation says he won't do it for friendship's sake, "yet because of his," the guy that's knocking, the host, "because of his shameless audacity," strong words, "he will rise up and give whatever he needs." Because of his shameless audacity, because this host continues knocking, his shameless audacity, "he will rise up and give him whatever he needs." Now that phrase, shameless audacity, comes from the Greek word anadeia, which basically carries the idea of bold persistence, relentless determination, a refusal to stop. Summarized, we can put it down as a holy boldness that simply keeps coming. Or a holy boldness that refuses to walk away. This is really important for us to hear this in the context of prayer. But we have to be very careful how we read this parable, this story. Because you and I, we can walk away with the wrong picture of God. Many people have concluded and even have taught from pulpits that God is like the reluctant neighbor, that he needs convincing, that he's reluctant to answer. But if you pray long enough, or you pray loud enough, or you pray passionately enough, he will eventually change his mind. You see, that cannot possibly be what Jesus is teaching in this context. Why? Because in Luke 11, 2, Jesus has already revealed exactly who the Father is. He's revealed he is Father. Are you seeing why it's important to read Scripture in context? Because if we had read just this Scripture without knowing what Jesus said in Luke 11, 2, we would have walked away with the wrong picture of who God is. But Luke 11, 2 says he is Father. We know he's a loving, caring, generous Father. We also know from that, by just saying the word Father, we are acknowledging that we are his sons and daughters. You see, a father delights in his children. This is important to know. So Jesus is not saying that God is like the neighbor. But he's about to show us the complete opposite of this picture. So we've got to ask the question, what is Jesus teaching here? Here it comes. Prayer is bold persistence because the Father is good. You see, anadeia, bold persistence, relentless determination, a refusal to stop, is not an attempt to persuade God to care. It's not an attempt to persuade God to do something. Prayer is the continual expression of trust in a Father who already cares. He is Father. He is already Father. We know he is Father. We don't have to keep asking him because his heart is closed. We keep asking, though, because we know his heart has always been open. His heart has always been open. We have to be reminded here, though, church, of the progression that Jesus has taught his disciples since Luke 11:2. He has shown them, this is, we covered over the 2 weeks. He has shown them that prayer is presence before provision. Prayer is surrender before it is strategy. Prayer is dependency before it is self-sufficiency. And now he teaches us that prayer is persistence before it is breakthrough. Bold, persistent prayer is what we as trusting sons and daughters do whilst we continue to rest in the goodness of the Father. Bold, persistent prayer is what trusting sons and daughters do whilst they continue to rest in the goodness of their Father. I know God is on this morning because Pastor Russ did our team rally, and he shared along these lines of what the fact that we can rest in the goodness of Father. You see, Jesus doesn't stop there. He immediately applies this scripture by turning to his disciples in the next verse and saying, hey, let me tell you what persistence looks like. And here it comes in verse 9 to 11. I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Just take note, there's three wills in there. Ask and it will. Seek and you will. Knock and it will. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who asks, receives. So what I'm saying is what Scripture says. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Again, this is part of learning how to pray. Because this flows directly out of the story he has just told. And the man who kept knocking, the host who kept knocking, now becomes the picture of every disciple, including you and I. Every disciple, you and I. But there is a difference that Jesus is highlighting. You see, the reluctant neighbor opens the door because someone keeps knocking. The Father, though, invites bold, persistent prayer. He invites the asking and the seeking and the knocking because that's what trusting sons and daughters do. He invites it. He's inviting you to be knocking. He's inviting you to be asking. He's inviting you to be seeking. Here's a question. Anybody here had been through the why phase with your young children? Yeah, a lot of you are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. Can you put on your shoes, please? Why? Because we're going to the shops. Why? Because we need to go and buy something. Why? Because you need food. Why? Because I said so. I know you don't do that, but I think I did that. I did something like that, yeah? That's why Paulina's laughing. Paulina even said in the first service, we are still in the why phase. 22-year-old and a 14-year-old, just saying. But that's the natural. That's the natural. So if the child can continue asking you why can't you keep on asking the Father? Keep on knocking, keep on seeking. He's a good father. He's a good father. In the kingdom, bold, persistent prayer isn't about changing God's heart. It's about refusing to lose confidence in the Father's heart. It's not about you trying to change his heart. It's about you refusing to give up, refusing to lose confidence in a good, caring, loving Father. This is important. Because there's something really fascinating in the original Greek that most English translations don't capture. There's this thing called present imperative tense. You all know what that means, yeah? No? I'm glad you don't, because I didn't either. I had to go and look it up. So it's in relation to the ask, seek, and knock. They call it a present imperative tense. Jesus is not saying ask once, seek once, knock once. This language actually carries the idea of continual action. It could literally be translated, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. The English translation version in the footnote says a continual way of life. Keep asking, keep seeking. Keep knocking, a continual way of life. I had somebody after the first service go, sometimes I don't want to ask anymore because I think he's sick and tired of hearing. No, he never gets sick and tired of you. He's encouraging you to ask more. He's encouraging you to seek more. He's encouraging you. He invites you because he's a loving, caring father. Now, the man in the story, that's exactly what he did. He didn't knock once and walk away. He kept knocking with an expectation. As children, we come to Father and we keep knocking and asking with an expectation that the answer is there. So what is Jesus teaching? Jesus is teaching this. Prayer is persistent dependence. Persistent dependence. Each time we ask again, we are declaring, Father, I still trust you. Each time we seek again, we are declaring, Father, I still believe you. Each time we knock again, we are declaring, Father, I know you. I know your heart. I know that you are a good, loving, caring Father, that you are good, even though I have not seen the answer yet. Persistent dependence. I'm dependent on him. Week 2. I'm dependent. I'm constant. Father, I need you. Father, I cannot do this without you. Father, I choose not to do this life without you. It's a choice. Can I be honest? The greatest battle in prayer isn't finding the words to pray. The greatest battle is continuing to believe when things do not appear, when the answer does not come, when the breakthrough is not there. That is the greatest battle, is to continue to believe He is good, to continue to believe He is Father. But let me tell you, there is one who truly understands the power of persistent prayer. And his name is Satan. He knows he doesn't have to stop you believing. He simply has to discourage you enough to stop you from praying. Because when you stop praying, He wins. When you stop praying, He wins the battle. We know we're in a battle, yeah? We know that's a spiritual battle, yeah? It's not a flesh and blood battle. It's a spiritual battle. This is what the Bible says. And He knows the power there is in persistent prayer. He knows it. All He has to do is discourage you from praying. Discourage you from pushing in. Discourage you from going further. And He's won. Time, church. It's time to stop allowing Him to win. Think about it. Daniel. If Daniel had have stopped praying 20 days out, he would never have known that heaven had been moving from the very first day. Elijah. If Elijah had stopped praying after the sixth prayer, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, he never would have seen the cloud on the horizon. The early church. If the early church had stopped praying halfway through midnight, guess what? They may never have witnessed Peter walk out of prison. If they had stopped praying halfway through midnight, guess what could have happened? Peter may never have come out of prison, and we may never have read about him in the Word. He may never have fulfilled God's purposes for his life. Different circumstances, different stories, different miracles, same principle. Ananias, bold, persistent, relentless prayer that refuses to stop. Let me reiterate, different circumstances, different stories, different miracles. The one was a cloud, the one was the breakthrough, the one was something coming out of prison. The same principle. Bold, persistent, relentless prayer, no matter what. Church, you may be here today and you've been carrying your 21 days. You may be here and you've been praying for your sixth prayer like Elijah. Perhaps you're even wondering if heaven has your number, if heaven has your address. But I want to encourage you that the same God who heard Daniel still hears. The same God who answered Elijah still answers. The same God who opened the prison doors for Peter still moves today. Still moves today. So what do I need to do, JJ? Do what Jesus said. As sons and daughters, keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. On repeat. Asking, seeking, knocking. Not because you're trying to persuade a reluctant God, but because you already know the heart of your loving, caring Father. You already know He is Father. Luke 11:2. He is Father. Persistent prayer isn't nagging God until he finally cares. Persistent prayer is refusing to stop believing that he already does care. I pray because I know he cares. I pray because I know he is a good father. I pray because I know he loves me unconditionally. You just got to look at the cross. The cross is empty. That's how much he loves me. That's why I pray. That's why I'm persistent. That's why I keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. And I believe, moving on, I believe that this brings us to the greatest revelation in Jesus' teaching on prayer. He lands somewhere where we wouldn't expect. But listen to his final words. Luke 11:13. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, really? If I can be honest, I would have preferred a three-step. Much more understandable, much more easier, yeah? Or if he had finished in miracles and healing and signs and wonders and answer prayer. But he doesn't. He doesn't. He stops with Holy Spirit. He ends his whole teaching with Holy Spirit. Now, I think many times we just accept it and go, oh, yeah, great. He finishes with the Holy Spirit. Let's just move on. But we can't, church. In these moments, we have to ask the question, why the Holy Spirit? Why does he end there? And this was one of my light bulb moments. I think Jesus right here revealed what this whole teaching on prayer has been leading to. Luke 11:2 starts with Father. Luke 11:13 finishes with the Father gives the Holy Spirit. Prayer begins with relationship. Prayer ends with relationship. So in other words, prayer doesn't simply bring us to God's provision. Prayer brings us to God. Full stop. Prayer does not bring us to God's provision. Prayer brings us to God. To God. Prayer is about his presence. Every time I say that, I just feel boom. Prayer is about his presence. Here's a question. Here's a what if question. What if answered prayer was never meant to be about the final destination? Let me say that again. Answered prayer was never meant to be the final destination. What if the Father has been inviting us into something even greater all along? His presence. Communion with him. Church. Brothers, sisters, family. Perhaps we've been asking God for everything except the most important thing he longs to give us. Presence. Just presence. Augustine, in 397, 400 AD, one of the most influential Christian theologians said this, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. That encapsulates all of this. That is so true. That is so beautiful. The deepest longing of the human heart has never been for something. It's always been for someone. We try and fill it with something. All the wrong things. But it's about the someone. No amount of money, no amount of success, no amount of achievement, no relationship can satisfy the human heart the way the presence of God can. That's how we've been designed. We see this in the life of Jesus. Luke tells us that Jesus continually withdrew to go and pray. He continually withdrew to go and pray. Now, I don't think it was because he had another list of miracles to discuss with the Father. I don't think he was like, all right, so I'm going to walk through the crowd. And at that moment, the crowd's going to be pushing us. But there's going to be a woman that's going to come through. She's going to touch the hem of my garment. No, 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 no. He did not have those conversations with Father. He did not. I don't think there was any of those conversations. I want to suggest that he, in that moment, withdrew to pray because being with the Father was the greatest delight. Being with the Father was something that just filled him. And he's like, I've got to get more of this. Went out and ministered, I've got to go and spend time with the Father. Went out and did this, I've got to spend the time. Went out and prayed for the fishes and the loaves, and we shed on that, and you know, and that multiplied. Okay, I've got to go and spend time with the Father. Spend time with the Father. Oh, my heart's full. Oh, the disciples are in trouble. They're on the sea, the waves. All right, I'm just gonna go to them. And he walks out on the water. There's something in that. We see it in Jesus' life. So here's my question. Is this why Jesus finishes his teaching on prayer right there? After revealing the Father, after teaching surrender and dependence and persistence, he ends by pointing his disciples to Holy Spirit. God's abiding presence with his children. You know why? I want to suggest. Because actually God himself is our treasure. God himself is our reward. God himself is the answer to every need and every want and every desire of the human heart. God himself. Here's a challenge. Here's a challenge. After hearing this, the next time you walk out of your prayer time, your prayer closet, your war room, whatever you want to call it, the next time you walk out of there, ask this question: am I walking out knowing my Father more than when I walked in? That's what it's about. Not bringing him your wish list, not bringing him your to-do list, not bringing him, no, no, no. It's about relationship, presence. Ask the question, am I walking out knowing my Father more than when I walked in? If the answer is yes, then prayer has already accomplished something eternal within me before it changes everything or anything around me. That's what it's all about. Allow me to conclude. I want to share, as I do, I want to share what I noticed that I personally have not yet fully appreciated before. When the disciples asked, Lord, teach us to pray, they weren't asking for a theology lesson. They were asking Jesus to teach them how to pray like he prayed. We have to stop and wonder why. I have a theory that watched him minister with extraordinary authority. They saw the power of his public life flowing from the depth of his private life with Father. So perhaps, just perhaps, they wanted to know the secret. They wanted the three-step plan. They wanted to understand how to get the same results he was having, how to be as effective as he was. However, Jesus never teaches his disciples how to get answers. He never says, if you pray these words or in this way exactly, every problem will disappear. Instead, he gives them a model that introduces them to Father, who then in turn transforms the person who is praying. Jesus introduces a model that takes them to Father, exposes them to a Father who loves, who cares, who trusts them, who then in the presence of Father, that transforms the person who's busy praying. That transforms the person who keeps on asking, keeps on seeking, keeps on knocking. Is this helping? Is this challenging? It's making you think different? That's what Scripture's meant to do. Scripture is meant to make us know Father more. Let's look at last week's table. I had this table at the end of last week. And it shows every sentence Jesus teaches us. What changes on the inside? Father, the word Father changes my identity. Hallowed be your name changes my vision. Your kingdom come changes my will. Daily bread, give us today our daily bread, changes my dependence. This week we can add another two. Ask, seek, knock changes my perseverance. Holy Spirit changes my communion, my relationship with Him. Is that not amazing? That in itself shows you that it's about this before it's about this. It's about this. It's about the heart. It's about me being changed first. Before Jesus ever talks about changing the world around us, He changes the world within us. Before Father transforms our circumstance, He transforms our heart. How? By drawing us into a stronger, deeper, closer relationship with Him. Church, maybe, just maybe, we've spent years asking God to change our circumstance whilst all He wants is for us to come closer to Him. Come closer to Him. Thought about it during worship. That whole song, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after thee. It's exactly what we've been talking about here. Coming closer to Him. James 4:8 has a new revelation for me. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Father. When I say Father, I'm acknowledging I'm His son or I'm His daughter. Father then comes to you as a son or a daughter, as a child. We spoke about this in the natural. If daddy is walking away and you hear your child going, daddy, you turn around and you go to your child. Draw near. Father. And He draws near to you. He comes closer because that's His desire. And isn't that exactly what happened with these disciples? The very men who asked, Lord, teach us to pray, became the men who turned the world upside down. Not because they mastered a prayer formula, a three-step plan. No. Because they learned to walk with their Father. They learned to walk with their Father. So my prayer for every single one of us has changed. As I've been up here and I've been saying, you know, a praying church is a growing church. And there's truth in that. My prayer now is a praying church is a church that grows closer to Father. I pray that now as I've got this revelation. I don't want us to simply leave and pray more prayers. I don't. Yes, if your prayer life is not up to scratch, spend time with the Father. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Don't go to Him with a wish list. But it's not about praying more prayers. I want you leaving today wanting to spend more time getting to know your Father through the asking, the seeking, and the knocking. Why? He is our treasure. He is our treasure. He is our reward. He, God Himself, is the answer to every need, every want, and every desire. He alone. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't want to rush this moment. We got some time. But I want to, for 3 weeks, we've now spent time learning about prayer. And Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know. Not know, no, no. Be still and know that I'm God. So right across this room, our team are going to lead us in a song, one simple song. I don't want you singing with that song. I don't want you praying in your heavenly language. Many times when people come down for prayer and they shun dying and they speak in their eyes, I go, shh, shh, you came for prayer. Not to pray, you came for prayer. So zip it and let God minister to you. This is one of those moments. Zip it. But sometimes we just do it out of habit. Let's zip it. Let's not say a word, but let's open, close our eyes, open our hands, and allow Father to minister to you today. Allow Him to break off that disappointment. Allow Him to fill your heart afresh. Allow Him to come and renew your desire to spend more time with Him. Because you know what, church? When you walk out of these doors, you will be different because you spend time with Him. So right there where you are, just close your eyes. Hold your hands open in front of you in a simple posture of surrender, simple posture of, I'm ready to receive, Lord. As Pastor Paulina said, as my wife said this morning, sometimes you've got to let things go before you can receive something new. Let it go this morning. If you need to get on your knees, get on your knees. If you need to come down to the front and lay yourself down here, do that as well. Feel free, move around. Thank you, Lord. Become aware of His presence. Yes, Lord.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long to be overcome. Your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood. Yes, Your presence, Lord.
Your presence, Lord.
Your presence, Jesus.
Your presence, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit, reveal. Reveal the Father's heart this morning. Come afresh upon us. We acknowledge You're already here. You're already working. But we say, come fall afresh. Whew. Remove all disappointment. remove the hurt, remove the anguish. Fill the questions, Lord, with your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Minister to the heart. Unclog the hearts this morning, Lord. May there be a new passion, a newfound passion for your presence, a passion to be with you more. Thank you, Lord. Yes, 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 yes. Do that heart surgery, Lord.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.